Hey, Bible nerds, this is Dr. Manny Arango, and I'm your host for the Bible Department podcast powered by Arma. This podcast follows a Bible reading plan we created to help you read the entire Bible in a year. You can head to the show notes or thebibledepartment.com to download our reading plan and join the journey. To all my fellow pastors, I've got a question for you. Does your city know that your church exists? Listen, I get it. You're preaching, you're leading, you're discipling, you're doing ministry. We are in the same boat. And let's be honest, social media and marketing, not your strong suit, not mine either. And that's probably the last thing on your mind. And that's why we chose to partner with Church Candy Marketing for our church plant, The Garden. We out here, y'all. They help churches get more actual guests walking through the doors on Sunday without you or I having to stress over ads or algorithms or trying to crack the social media code. Right now, Church Candy is helping nearly 400 churches reach their communities with simple invite ads, and it works. It's super effective. I can tell you from firsthand experience. So if you're tired of being your city's best kept secret, how about you do this? Go to churchcandy.com/Manny and book a free consultation, book a discovery call. Their team will break it all down and show you how to start seeing new faces at your church this Sunday. I'm in the trenches with you, trying to grow the church. And how about we just start a whole campaign? No more empty churches. So let's partner with Church Candy and get our churches full for the glory of Jesus. Let's go. We are going to get into the book of Philippians, all right? Four chapters. It's going to take us 2 days to get through Philippians, okay, today and tomorrow. Hey, I actually want to challenge you, read the whole book in one sitting. Like, it'll take you about 15 minutes. I know on the Bible reading plan, we've split it up between 2 days, and I'll make two videos to kind of help guide us through the 2 days. But I want to just challenge you. How about you read Philippians chapter 1 to 4 today, and then read Philippians chapter 1 through 4 tomorrow. Really, really short book. You can do it. Like, you can. I believe in you. And so if you haven't done the reading yet, here's what I always love to tell people. Just stop. Don't continue to listen or watch the video. It'll make the most sense if you've actually done the reading. And I'm just challenging you. Just a light challenge, okay? Instead of reading Philippians 1 and 2 today and then 3 and 4 tomorrow, just read Philippians chapter 1 and 4. Today, and then read Philippians chapter 1 through 4 again tomorrow. I promise, like, reading entire books in one sitting is a great way to just understand the entire context of an entire book of the Bible. And really, really, really helpful. And this is a book that's small enough that kind of lends itself to doing that. And so, with no further ado, let's hop in. Here's some context. Here we go. Context clues. Just to start. Philippi, you can read all about Paul going to Philippi in Acts chapter 16. I don't know if you just remember this, just from memory, okay? He gets to Macedonia is the region, Philippi is the city, and he meets Lydia, a purple dye dealer down by the river. There are not enough of them to have a synagogue because they don't have enough men. And then there's the Philippian jailer. Remember, there's a massive persecution. Paul gets thrown in prison. Prison doors get shaken free, him and Silas. Instead of escaping, instead of going free, the Philippian jailer is threatening to kill himself because the prisoners are going to go free. But instead, Paul leads that Philippian jailer to the Lord. And so one of the things that you need to know about Philippi that we can actually see right there in Acts chapter 16 and is going to have an impact for our friends here, the church in Philippi, is that massive retired military community in Philippi. And Philippi is going to be a hub, okay? It's a Roman colony known for its patriotic nationalism, okay? So super nationalistic vibes, okay? So when Paul starts preaching that Jesus is Lord, I mean, this crew in Philippi is like, Caesar is Lord, homie. We pledge our allegiance to Caesar. And so there's going to be conflict in Philippi because it's a hotbed of nationalism. And let's be real, nationalism and patriotism are issues that did not go away in the first century. Nationalism, patriotism, those are issues that exist today. And there's nothing wrong with being patriotic, but there is something wrong if I equate my Americanness or my allegiance to America as something that's equal with my allegiance to King Jesus, okay? And there are lots of Christians who the United States Constitution and the Bible are like neck and neck. You know, the cross and the flag, neck and neck. And I love the flag. I love the Constitution. I actually like paying taxes, like for real. We got roads, postal service, like my trash gets taken. I have no issues paying taxes. I'm a patriotic individual. Like, I salute anyone who serves in the military, who keeps us safe. Like, I'm an American through and through. But all that stuff bows its knee and comes under my number one allegiance, which is to King Jesus. And that is that's easy for me, right? But that's not easy for a lot of people. A lot of people really do struggle. They see their Christianity through a lens of Americanness, which is why it's really, really important to get on not just missions trips, but to see the global church, to widen your perspective, to get out of the Christian bubble that is the one that exists in America and kind of see that, man, there are Christians from around the globe who have a different perspective, who have, you know, perspectives that are really, really, really valuable. And so, yeah, patriotism, not a new concept, definitely a factor here in Philippi. That's our big context clue, okay? Here's just a little bit more context, like what's going on in the letter to the Philippians. Epaphroditus, great name, by the way. I actually know an Epaphroditus, lives in Colorado Springs, so shout out to Epaphroditus, who lives in Colorado Springs, goes to Zeal Church. Anyway, it's neither here nor there. I feel like Paul right now, just shouting out random people in a letter. Hey, Tychicus, you know, all those people at Chloe's house. Anyway, Manny, stop. Stop with the Bible jokes. But it's a Bible platform. Anyway, all right, come on. Let's keep rocking and rolling. Epaphroditus has come from the Church of Philippi to visit Paul in prison. Okay, so remember, there's four epistles that are going to come out of Paul's stint in prison. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Of the four, three of these letters are going to get delivered by a guy named Tychicus. Tychicus is going to carry the letter to the Ephesians. He's going to carry Colossians and Philemon. As we'll learn when we get to Colossians, there's also a letter for the Laodiceans that the Colossians and the Laodiceans are supposed to trade off with one another. But that letter's been lost to history, neither here nor there. But after Tychicus delivers Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon, Epaphroditus is supposed to deliver this letter, Philippians, the church of Philippi. So Paul's in prison, and the Philippians have sent Paul a generous gift. That is the context of this letter. And so really, this letter, Paul's letter to the Philippians, is a massive thank you letter. It's like a glorified thank you card. Thank you for caring about me while I was in prison. Leads us to a nerdy nugget. In Roman prison, there was no, you know, three meals, a bed, and a shower. And I hate to call these amenities, but really, like, my dad's an immigrant. So my dad's from Cuba. And my dad, who spent 18 years in prison, definitely called American prisons hotels. Okay. So I don't mean to be demeaning. I know that prison is hard, even here in America, but American prison ain't got nothing on Roman prisons. Okay. Roman prisons did not have any medical services. If you died while you're in prison, it's just one less prisoner. Food was not guaranteed. Clothing was not guaranteed. And so really, if you were in prison, you were reliant upon family, friends, loved ones, or a church that really loved you to send someone with like gifts and food and sustenance and things that you would need. And so Epaphroditus is the delivery guy, but Epaphroditus gets sick while he's in Rome with Paul. And so part of this letter is Paul thanking them for their overwhelming generosity, but also letting them know that Epaphroditus is now healthy, he's good. And so Paul sends Epaphroditus back to Philippi with this letter. The central theme of the letter. It's going to be thanksgiving, joy, rejoicing. You can see from this letter that Paul's kind of got a favorite church, okay? I know pastors aren't allowed to have favorites, but boy, oh boy, Paul's got a favorite, and it's the Philippians. And I love the letter to the Philippians because of this. Paul kind of gets a rap, like a bad rap, for kind of being angry, a little confrontational. And he's angry. Like, you read Galatians, he's hot. You know, he's hot under his collar. He's like, who bewitched you? You fools, you know? Paul's coming for the Galatians. In Corinth, he's just like confrontational, very, very direct. But Philippians, it's all joy. I love you guys. I mean, my joy's bubbling over. I'm so proud of you. He's got nothing challenging to say to the Philippians. And I actually feel like I'm glad that the Holy Spirit allowed this letter to be kept in the canon of Scripture so we could get a full breadth of this apostle. That Paul's not just angry and confrontational or teaching or instructive or confusing or theological, but that Paul is also just like a human, that there's a crew here in Philippi that he just loves. And I want you to see this, that in the middle of prison, in the middle of imprisonment, that Paul's full of joy. The word joy just keeps repeating over and over and over and over and over. Bible nerds, I have an announcement. My brand new book, Crushing Chaos, releases May of 2025 and pre-orders are officially open. When I began to learn Genesis in its proper context, I learned that the creation account is not primarily about God creating something out of nothing, but rather God bringing divine order to the chaos of the cosmos. That one nugget was a game changer for me because I've been preaching to all the kids in my youth group that peace was a solution for their anxiety. But really, God's solution to chaos is never peace, but rather order. Peace isn't something that you stumble into. It's something that you intentionally step into. And that starts with aligning your life with God's order. I think that this book is a game changer. It's nerdy, it's practical, it provides a very contextual understanding of the book of Genesis, and if you grab a copy, you'll learn why there's a huge dragon on the cover. Head to the link in the show notes to pre-order, or head to crushingchaos.com to see the really dope trailer that we made for this book. I think it's time for you to crush the chaos in your life, and that starts with grabbing a copy of this book. Now, back to the podcast. All right. Last couple of nuggets, and then I'll get to my timeless truth. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 11 is a poem about the person of Jesus Christ. And it's actually the central theme for the entire book. Everything else kind of stems from this poem that's here in chapter 2. It's all about how Jesus didn't see equality with God as something to be grasped or held onto, but became a servant, emptied himself of all of his power, became dependent upon God in a human flesh suit, died the most shameful death on the cross, but because of that, then was resurrected and exalted. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he's not just Savior, but he is Lord. This central poem right here in chapter 2, verses 6 through 11, it actually becomes the framework for all the other vignettes that flow from it. So everything else kind of flows out of this poem. Paul is putting forth the person of Jesus and saying, this is a model. And here's how it's going to get played out in Paul's life. Chapter 1, verse 21 to 26. And actually, this moves us into our timeless truth. Okay. Always love to give you guys context clue, nerdy nugget, timeless truth. This moves us into our timeless truth. Paul is now going to model his life and his perspective, even though he's in prison. He's going to model how he should approach his life through the lens of the person of Jesus. He says, man, first of all, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Chapter 1, verse 21. I'll actually read it to you. It says this, for to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. So he's taking the model of Jesus and he's saying, death is at the end. It'd be great actually to die. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I love this verse. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. Imagine being so in love with Jesus. Like, guys, can I make a confession? I'm not here. I'm not at like, oh yeah, take me away. Like, no, I love my wife. I love my son. I love our team. Like, I love my friends. I would really like to stay alive. Okay. So I can't relate to Paul when it comes to this, but he's so in love with the Lord. He's saying to depart, to be with Jesus would be far better, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Saying, I know it would actually be better for me, according to my desires, to die and be with Jesus. But I'm going to do the most selfless thing there is to do. I'm going to choose to stay here on the earth to serve y'all. And here's why this is my timeless truth, for two reasons. Number one, I think it's important for us to always create a win-win scenario. So often we create a win-lose, right? If this happens, I'll be happy. And if this happens, I won't be happy. But Paul doesn't create a win-loss or win-lose. He creates a win-win. If I die, that's awesome. I'll be with Jesus. If I live, that's awesome. I get to serve you guys. So often in life, it's really, really hard to create win-wins. But that's actually like what we're supposed to do as faith-filled, spirit-filled, like Jesus-centered, Christ-centered believers. We're supposed to create win-wins. Here's the second reason this is my timeless truth. It's because there's a lot of people who will say, man, I would die for my wife, or I would die for my family, or I would die for my team, or I would die for my fellow countrymen. But then they don't live for their kids, or live for their wife, or live for their family, or live for their team, or live for their fellow countrymen. Paul says, I would die for Jesus, but that's not the harder thing. The harder thing is not to die. The harder thing is to actually live in such a way that I serve other people. There's a lot of people who, what they say out of their mouth is like, I would take a bullet for my spouse, or I would die for my wife, but you can't live for her, which really means if you can't live for someone, you would never die for them. And it's easy to die for someone. You know what's hard? To live your life for that person, to actually live your life in a way that models sacrifice and that models the self-sacrificial, selfless, self-giving, servant-oriented life of Jesus. And that's how that poem gets lived out in Paul's life. And then that's how it's supposed to get lived out in our life. And Paul then goes on to say that that's how Timothy models his life. That's how Epaphroditus lives his life. By this poem that we emulate, this poem, Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 11, is also a great poem to memorize. If you're looking for a passage of scripture that would be good to memorize, I would say memorize this one. So, all right, tomorrow we got Philippians chapter 3 and 4, and I'll see you right here. I'm super, super proud of you. Keep your streaks going. Love you guys. See you right here tomorrow. Peace. Thanks so much for joining us on the Bible Department podcast. You can find us online and learn more about the show at thebibledepartment.com and on Instagram at the Bible Department. If you enjoyed this episode and want to dive deeper into the Bible, you can get free access to our library of courses at thebibledepartment.com. We'll see you back here tomorrow.